and gentlemen, welcome to the TF1 conference call. I now hand over to Mr. Philippe Lemery, CFO. Sir, please go ahead.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you for joining us. I will start by commenting on the 9 months results, then I will be happy to take questions. Before I start the financial review of the first 9 months 2011, I would like to remind you that the inclusion of TMC and NT1 in the consolidation in Q3 2010 generated a non-recurring profit of 95.9 million euro, and that is why all my comments today will be made on the current operating profit level. Also, bear in mind that in Q3 2011, TF1 included Metro France in the consolidation for the first time, with no significant impact on the first 9 months. Let's start by looking at audience figures. As you know, the analog switch-off will take place on November 29, 2011. After that date, all free-to-air channels in France will be broadcast on DTT. Also note that at end of September 2011, two French regions had yet to proceed to switch off. Today, 99% of the French population can already access 18 channels or more, versus 96% at end of September last year. At end of September this year, TV consumption was high and still rising, reaching 3 hours and 49 minutes for women below 50, up 6% over 12 months, and 3 hours 42 for individuals, up 8% compared to last year. In this context, TF1 is maintaining its solid position in the French TV market, thanks to its audience successes during the first 9 months 2011 for every type of program. TF1 core channel ratings showed good resistance, reaching 23.7% of individuals and 26.9% of women under 50. Prime time remained strong, with an average of 6 million TV viewers over the same period, and the TF1 channels had all of the top 50 ratings over the 9 months. This quarter rating also showed good resilience, remaining stable versus the first 6 months of the year. During September and October, TF1 broadcast the Rugby World Cup, which generated strong ratings. The TF1 core channel attracted 4.2 million viewers on an average of 20 matches, generating a 51% audience share among individuals. Matches involving the French team attracted 8.9 million viewers, a 69% audience share among individuals. The final between France and New Zealand was seen by 15.4 million viewers, an 82% audience share for the core channel, which is the third best audience ever for a rugby game and the best audience since 2007. At end of September 2011, TMC and NT1 are still increasing their audience share. TMC reached 3.5% of individuals and 3.9% of women under 50, up by 0.3 and 0.4 respectively. TMC enjoyed strong audience successes and remained the leading DTT channel, ranking number 5 on free-to-air. NT1's audience share reached 1.8% of individuals and 2.3% of women under 50, up by 0.3 and 0.9 respectively. Overall, the global audience share of the TF1 group to end of September 2011 was 29% of individuals versus 29.2% last year, and 33.1% of women under 50 versus 33% last year. Now, let's turn to group revenues. As a whole, group consolidated revenues for the 9 months of 2011 reached €1,839,000,000, up by 0.7% year-on-year. Total advertising revenues for the group were up by 3.3% over the first 9 months and stable over Q3, thanks to good performances of the other channels and the growth of video ads on the internet. This achievement demonstrates TF1's ability to diversify its advertising revenue stream in order to sustain its development. Advertising revenues for the core channel decreased by 1.6% to end September. You have to keep in mind that we had tough comparative last year's, as revenues were up by 11% to end September 2010 due to the volume growth. In Q3 11, net advertising revenues for the TF1 core channel reached €297 million, minus 3.2% compared to Q3 2010. Gross advertising revenues were down by minus 5.6% for the quarter. There are three main reasons for this. First of all, July and August are traditionally weak months, during which the competition with DTT channel is now even stronger. Secondly, the Rugby World Cup had a positive impact on pricing during the September 2011, but this positive pricing effect in September was more than offset by a drop in volume, especially during the second half of the month, as a consequence of economic uncertainties. Other diversification revenues grow by 3.9% over the first 9 months of 2011, reaching €784.4 million. TF1 resold Rugby World Cup rights by €13 million during Q3 2011, compared to the resale of Football World Cup rights for €33 million during Q2 2010. Other channels generated €225.6 million of revenues to end September 2011, up by 33.4% compared to 2010. This increase is partly due to the consolidation of TMC and NT1 for the first half year this year. On a like-for-like basis, other channels' revenues grew by 5.1% over the first 9 months of the year. All other channels except TF6 increased their top line to end of September. Other activities in the broadcasting France sector performed well in terms of revenues for the 9 month period. The audiovisual rights sector recorded a 11.2% revenue decrease over the first 9 months of the year, with sales reaching €73.1 million. TF1 audiovisual rights revenues dropped by €8.8 million to end September 2011 due to TMC and NT1 sales now being treated as intercompany transactions. TF1 video recorded stable revenues to end of September at €50.9 million. International broadcasting revenues dropped slightly over the first 9 months, down by 1.6%, reaching €269.7 million. Subscriber revenues are still on an uptrend, rising by 3%. Advertising revenues fell by 11% due to the fact that there was no major sports event this year, like the FIFA World Cup last year, Olympic Games, and the African Cup of Nations that were broadcast last year. Now, let's turn to cost trends. TF1's core channel programming cost decreased by 7.7% to €639.4 million at end of September 2011 versus €693.1 million for the same period last year. As you know, several factors can account for this €53.7 million improvement. First, the non-recurrence of the 2010 FIFA World Cup, generating a savings of €63.3 million on rights net of replacement programs. The €12.4 million cost of the Rugby World Cup in the third quarter of 2011, net of replacement programs, and €2.8 million of savings on other programs. Programming costs for the third quarter 2011 reached €215.8 million versus €210.5 million a year ago. Apart from the impact of the Rugby World Cup, TF1 reinvested in programming in Q3 2011 in order to boost audiences for the access prime time slot with successful programs. This time slot reached 2.7 million viewers on average, 145,000 more than in 2010. Other operating costs, including depreciation and amortization, are up by €26 million in the third quarter of this year. They include cost of Rugby World Cup. They also take into account an increase in cost of the diversification level, especially with Eurosport, TMC, and NT1, which have increased their programming spend. Overall operating costs of the 9 months 2011 are stable compared to 2010. Now, the consequence, consolidated current operating profit for the first 9 months 2011 was 195.5 million euro, an increase of 7.6 million euro versus 2010. The group remained profitable at current operating level during the third quarter, with a profit of 9 million euros versus 20.5 million euros in Q3 2010. This was achieved in spite of several challenging factors in the quarter. The negative seasonal trend, which traditionally affect profitability in the third quarter of the year. I remind you that this is only the second time since 2006 that TF1 has made a profit at current operating level in Q3. And the Rugby World Cup, partly broadcast during Q3 2011, which generated a one-off cost described earlier. Operating margin for the group to end September 2011 reached 10.6%, up by 3.8 points versus 2010, and compared with 8.8% for the full year 2010. Consolidated net profit attributable to the group amount to 125.2 million euros to end of September 2011, down by 44.5 million euros compared to the first 9 months of 2010. This decrease is due to the non-recurring profit of 95.9 million euro linked to the first-time consolidation of TMC and T1, which was booked in Q3 2010. Cost of net debt was in fact a profit, 0.4 million euro, as the group is now cash rich, with net cash of 87.3 million euro the 30th of September, versus a net debt position of 8.3 million euro on the 30th of September 2010, and a net cash position of 10.9 million euro at June 30th of June 2011. So to sum up, over the first 9 months of the year, the group has demonstrated good resilience, especially thanks to its diversifications. We prefer to remain cautious at this stage because, first of all, the visibility on the advertising market remains quite low. It is also uncertain how household consumption might evolve in the coming months. Finally, it is important to keep in mind that the comparative remains high for Q4. So far, October and November are negative. December is not looking any better, with visibility still very poor. In this context, our consolidated revenues target for the full year 2011 is a decrease of around 1%. Nevertheless, we remain confident as we have strong assets in our portfolio. We have strong TV channels that broadcast powerful and federating programs and that are widely distributed and very popular among advertisers. Our advertising agencies are well-positioned and innovative. Our diversification activities enjoy good profitability. Our business model is now more flexible, providing an enhanced ability to steer our activity and profitability. Also, costs remain globally stable as savings made on the cost base can be reinvested in programming on our various channels to compete more efficiently. To conclude, over the last 3 to 4 years, we have faced many changes and challenges, whether in terms of technology, competition, or regulation, and we have successfully overcome the challenges. One of our response has been to progress and improve our business model, but we also managed to turn these challenges into opportunities for the group through the acquisition of TMC and NT1, the development of the 360 digital offer, and the renegotiation of some of our contracts and obligations. From a macroeconomic perspective, the euro crisis had not been anticipated, generating higher volatility and delays in decision-making from advertisers. The third quarter 2011 demonstrates the necessity for us to be flexible relating to the trade-off between price and volumes in our commercial policies. In the next few months, we will meet new challenges as we've met those of the past 4 years. The experience we have gained in terms of process, organization, and implementation of change is a strong asset in this context. We will also put ourselves in a position to grasp opportunities that might arise. That concludes my review of TF1 results for the first 9 months of 2011. Thank you again for having joined us tonight. Should you have any question, please do not hesitate to ask. I would finally remind you that a replay of this conference call will be available. You will find the connection details on our website, group-tf1.com.
Ladies and gentlemen, if you wish to ask a question, please press 01 on your telephone keypad. Thank you. We have a first question from Mr. Matthew Walker from Nomura. Sir, please go ahead.
Thank you very much. I was wondering if you could just go into a little bit more detail about some of the sectoral trends that you're seeing in advertising in the fourth quarter, and whether you could sort of be a little bit more precise about the levels of growth that you are seeing. Also, maybe you could update us on how the competitive environment is going to shake out vis-à-vis the bonus channel situation, and how you think that's going to develop, whether you think Canal+ will be able to fully enter the market, and whether you are talking to the competition authorities about objecting to that plan. Thank you.
Thank you. On the trends for Q4, what we have for October and beginning of November is the same trend as what we've experienced during the second part of Q3, and especially end of September. Sectors which are not performing quite well are food and as well as house cleaning, which are down significantly, two digits in Q3, and which remain low. What we experience now is that the decision-making process in order to confirm or take decision to invest on advertising and to spend their budget from our clients is taken very short before last minute, meaning that for December, the visibility is very low, changing every day, positive, negative, even for end of November, sorry. What has changed is really the process of decision from advertisers to invest or not to invest. That's what I can say on Q4. The global environment is not very positive, but what is really significant is volatility. On the second question, which is the environment and the regulation, I would say that, first of all, changes both in terms of the position of Canal+, the tender for six editions, that will take place. That will take time, sorry. The changes will happen gradually, and they will not, according to us, they will not cause any sudden disruption in the market. Nevertheless, of course, we address the issue to the regulators in terms of equity and in terms of capacity to have rules or rights between markets, and we are also looking seriously at, of course, the tender, which will take place in the next few months.
Okay, thank you.
Yep.
Next question is from Mr. Conor O'Shea from Kepler Capital Markets. Sir, please go ahead.
Yes, thank you, and good evening. Just three questions. Firstly, on the downgrade to guidance, I just wonder, could you say whether the vast majority of that is coming from lower expected TF1 ad revenues, or whether there are other elements that we should take into account in our forecast? That's the first question. Second question on programming costs. You mentioned reinvesting to boost Access prime time audiences in the third quarter. Just specifically with the fourth quarter in mind, would you expect programming costs to be down or up year on year relative to the previous fourth quarter? And related to that, are there any costs relating to the Rugby World Cup still to be accounted for in the fourth quarter relating to the October?
Well, thank you. In terms of for your last question, yes, there should be some additional cost linked to with the Rugby World Cup in the in Q4. We had three match, which has been broadcast in October. So yes, a part of it will be on the Q4. Now, in terms of programming cost, reinvesting, and how we see Q4, we remain with the same target and guidance we've given. We think that the impact of the Rugby World Cup will be during Q4 11 million euro.
Okay.
And apart from that, we have, I think, same basis as the Q4 in terms Q3, sorry, in terms of trend.
Okay.
Your first question was the explanation of our change in our guidance. That's how we can see it a date. We don't give a breakdown of the ad and diversification activity in terms of guidance. We take into account the, of course, advertising markets for the last month and especially before Christmas, as well as the level of consumption on the other activities. And it's a combined scenario, which and assumption, not only based on advertising, but it takes all into account as well the trend in consumption on the French market.
Okay. Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
Next question is from Mr. Davison Laurie from Deutsche Bank. Sir, please go ahead.
Hi there, it's Laurie here from Deutsche. Could you give us the amount of the provision for Miracle of St. Anna over the first half and the third quarter? Secondly, just on cost guidance for 2012, are there any sort of indicative comments you can make about how you're thinking about costs for next year? And then the third question is just a follow-up from earlier on, just on ad growth for the fourth quarter. I think you said it was on the same trend as September or the second half of September. Can you just be a bit more precise about what those trends are and what the September trend was? Thank you.
Okay. Thank you, Laurie, for a question. On the provision for Miracle Saint Anna, we can't disclose the figure. It has an impact. No impact on the EBIT because we had some provision before. The only change is the fact that it's in the expenses now, and we are and not in the provision anymore. But that is that explain, and you that explain mainly the operational loss of TF1 droit audiovisuel, the losses is mainly due to this. So you have the range, the losses of TF1 droit audiovisuel for the first 9 months is greatly due to that. Now, second question on the cost for 2012, we will come back on this, of course, when we will give you our annual results in February. I just remind you that we are still on an average of 950 million euros as an average for 2011 and 2012. So that remains the target, the guidance. That will be the last year which will be still impacted by the previous regulation. As you know, We have changed the regulations, especially on French series, beginning of 2009, and we have always said that that will have no impact on the P&L before 2013, and 2012 will be the last year where there will still have some impact in terms of rights and in terms of write-off of some rights linked with French series. Concerning ad growth, ad trend, and what we mean by September, we have seen in Q3, and especially during the last 2 weeks of September, a trend in terms of drop in volume, and that is the explanation of our figures for the Q3. There has been some significant drop in volume in Q3, and especially that has been the case during the last 2 weeks of September. So the trend remained the same, has been the same in October and during the first 2 weeks in November. In Q3, the volume were down by 13%, 1-3. So that's the trend we had in September, and which remains for the moment.
Okay, so would it be fair to assume then that you're thinking about a fourth quarter net advertising revenue result for the TF1 core channel, which is worse than the -3 you just did in the third quarter?
As long as we see it now, yes, the trend for the quarter, for the last quarter, for the fourth quarter, will be not better than Q3. And I remind you that the basis of comparison is very tough, because last year we had a level of volume were quite high during the fourth quarter. Occupancy rate was also very high, and so the challenge we had during the Q4 was to grow through to grow through capturing value with some price effect, and in a context where the demand is not as strong as expected, we have to have a trade-off in terms of volume and price, which is basically the main issue of the agency those days, and that will finally give the way we would perform in Q4, and that's what we are experiencing right now.
Okay, thank you very much.
Thank you.
I have a question from Mr. Filippo Lofranco from JP Morgan. Sir, please go ahead.
Good evening, everybody. I have three questions. The first is on cost reduction. I guess almost everything has been done, but should we expect something more in the future, maybe some contracts that now you can renegotiate or for programs or also for third parties? The second question is really how do you think that you are going to cope with the arrival of Canal Plus into the free-to-air TV market and basically boosting the programs of the previous Bolloré channels? In particular, how you are going to prepare for your digital channel for the arrival of Canal? And the third question is about cash. You have a very strong balance sheet, which is very good in this period, but maybe it's too good. So do you think that you are going to do something in terms of cash return or maybe investment, I don't know, in production? So these are my three questions. Thank you.
Well, thank you, Filippo. On the last question, I confirm that, well, you are never too good, so and we like to be good. But basically, we think that in the economic context, and we want to have a strong balance sheet, so there is nothing new in terms of cash or using cash. We have, as you probably noticed, we had some opportunities, to buy back shares during the last few months, but there is no specific program on that. And apart from that, we may have opportunities, but nothing again in the pipe today. But we want to keep a strong balance sheet and keep cash available. Now, on the two other questions, cost reduction, we think that there could be additional cost savings due to renegotiation, additional renegotiation of contract. That will be the case for Formula One, and that will be the case so with some impact in 2013, because the contract comes to an end of 2012. There will be some additional cost savings through the possibility after 2012 to have less or write-off on rights which should be lower due to the regulation, due to the fact that we have three channels and we can develop synergies. Additional cost savings should come from the re-engineering we have done and which is still going on, proceeding, re-engineering internally in the company of specific process. And there should be also some cost savings coming from renegotiation of specific contracts on specific entertainment contracts or on production costs. So that's what we have on the agenda. That will be, of course, on the next couple of years, with more impact in 2013 than in 2012, but that's what we can say today. Concerning the arrival of Canal Plus on the market, I just remind you that apart from the tender which will be launched by CSA, the fact that Canal Plus is a shareholder of Directuit and Directstar doesn't change significantly the position as they. That would take some time because they will have to go with the same process or an equivalent or the same kind of process we had for TMC and T1. So it's not done. And we are confident that fair rules will be applied by the regulator and the Competition Commission in order to be on an environment and with rules will give no specific position for Canal on the free-to-air market. Canal Plus is an actor of the sector historically and has some rationale. And the fact that it's paid a certain amount for, or will pay a certain amount, because for the moment it's not been closed, but the fact that they have paid a certain amount for those two channels is for us positive in terms of the capacity of the market to grow and to develop. There is no specific fair on our side or no specific. We will adapt, of course, the two channels, TMC and NT1, and as you have noticed, slowly, but we have decided to, on Q3, for specific reason, to reinvest a bit more in their programming because of the competition. So we are more flexible and we will go on and adapt to this new situation.
Okay, thank you very much, guys.
Next question is from Lisa Yang from Goldman Sachs. Madam, please go ahead.
Hi, just a couple of questions. First, can you give us an update on the negotiation with the telco operators on the distribution of the theme channels and an update on your intention with the LCI? Second question on the roaming cost. You're keeping your cost guidance at 950 this year and next year. If we apply 950 this year, it would imply 20% increase in Q4. And given, you know, the the deteriorating macro environment and that you're lowering your revenue guidance. I mean, what's the reason behind keeping this cost guidance? Last question, maybe on next year, what do you think the impact of the elections will be? Thank you.
Thank you. Concerning our negotiation with telco operators, I would say that we are progressing. We have found an agreement with three of them. We will go on with the negotiation with the others, and we are confident that within a very short period of time, definitely in the next month, we will achieve those negotiations. If we can achieve those negotiations positively in an accepted way in terms of break-even and economics, then we will see our position on LCI. But for the moment, we remain with two scenarios for our news channel, whether free or pay. Concerning programming costs, we have decided not to change our policy, our position, and our strategy. We want to have the capacity to reinvest if necessary. I remind you, the only thing I remind you that is that this figure and this guidance has been given with the assumption that we will compete and we will get the euro and we will broadcast euro 012. We still have no idea of what could be paid or what will be done for the euro rights next year. So there is a parameter, something that we don't know yet, and this guidance is confirmed because first, we still have the assumption that we will broadcast the euro, and secondly, because we, in a competitive environment, there's some very strong competition, a six channel which may, in the next couple of years, be on the market. We want to be in a position to keep a level of investment of the core channel, which has to confirm our leading position. Now, the programming policy can't be changed just for a very, very short-term economic situation or a very short-term situation. What I would say is that I think that from the experience we had in 2009, we have gained, we have experience. And we are in a position to be more flexible, to adapt to a change in the economy or in our environment. But at the same time, we can't move on a very, very short or cyclical timing. Concerning next year, your question was for the election. The answer is very difficult because, of course, the context or the economic context will probably be more important or will have more impact on the business than purely the election, which has been the, as it is, if we compare to what has been the case in the past. What we can say is two things. Around the presidential election, normally we have some slowdown, but normally what we have experienced is that after the election there is the counterpart on the upside. What we'll have is normally some probably 3-4 prime time where we would have some specific program for the presidential election or the general election after the presidential election, and that will have some negative impact on the advertising because we have less advertising spot to sell
in this case. Not very significant for the whole year, but it has normally a negative impact in terms of programming and capacity and volume, capacity to sell volume during four prime time, I would say.
Question. It seems that the other cost for the TF1 core channel decreased by 20% in Q3 again. Can you explain that decrease, please?
Yeah. The issue for the core channel is linked with the fact that we had a provision for the Miracle Santana in the antenne TF1 on the TF1SR on the core channel, as we have solved the issue through an arbitration process, this is now in diversification activity, and the cost in the diversification activity and in TF1 audiovisuel. So that means basically that there has been a write back for provision for Miracle Santana.
Okay, thank you.
Next question is from Mr. Julien Roch from Barclays Capital. Sir, please go ahead.
Yes, good evening. First question on programming cost. If I look at what you've done in Q3, adjusting for the sports rights, programming costs were up 4.9%. Would it be possible to have an indication on Q4? Is that in a ballpark in terms of increase, or because top line is a bit worse, you're going to have cost increase less than 5% in Q4? Is my first question. The second question is, you bought back about 1.9 million shares in Q3. Now you said there was nothing specific in terms of buyback plan, but have you bought back more shares since the end of Q3? Do you intend to buy, another million or two of shares in Q3? These are my two questions.
Okay, concerning the last question, there is no specific intention or no position on buyback shares. There is no no trend or no explanation, specific explanation in terms of trend. We just try to look at the opportunities, and if depending on the market, we on a very specific time, we just buy back. We stopped buying back shares on the 5th of October in order to comply with the market rules, and we may, if we have opportunity, we may buy some additional before the end of the year, but nothing sure or nothing special depending on the market. Now, concerning your first question, on Q4, there will be some very tough competition, and so we will maintain our level of investment in programming at a level which is comparable in terms of trend and in terms of what we've done during the third quarter. We think that we have to strengthen our position in terms of market share. And I remind you again that in Q4 we will have also some impact on the rugby from the Rugby World Cup, because there will be the additional 11 million euro coming from the Rugby World Cup linked with the three match which has been broadcast in October.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
The next question is from Mr. Bruno Aron from ODDO. Sir, please go ahead.
Yeah. Hi. Good evening. You mentioned that the volumes were down 13% so far since early October. You also said that the economic environment was difficult, which might imply pressure on prices. And my question is there a reason why the ad growth that decline that you will post in Q4 will be very different from this volume. In other words, I don't know where the pressure is, where the volume decline is, whether it's on prime time or other part of the day. So that's the first question. The second one concerns TV consumption. You said that the TV consumption was quite good. So it's in improved around 6%. But what is linked to audience measurements? I mean replay, which is now included, for example. I guess it has an impact. And the third question concerns the fact that every year you are binning some programs. It has a cost for you, I mean, to buy the programs and not to broadcast them. Is it going to be an issue either this year or next year? Thank you very much.
Well, thank you for your question. On your on the first question, I said that the volume were down by 13% for the Q3. That we had part of the explanation is coming from the last 2 weeks of September. That the trend we have in October, beginning of November, is the same. The question is now in terms of volume and how we see it for the Q4. Again, a question of trade-off we have to do in terms of pricing and in terms of and value or in terms of volume. So that's part of the Q4 challenge, to have the right trade-off between the, both them and but the demand and the volume remain down and the demand remains low at this stage as compared to what it was in Q4 last year, of course. Concerning TV consumption, it is good, but it is good not only because of there has been a slight difference in terms of measurements. On 7 minutes, additional 7 minutes, we have 3 minutes coming from catch-up replay program. And the remaining is meaning 4 minutes coming due to the fact that there is an increase in the consumption of TV, not coming from any kind of change in the measurement. Concerning issues relating to write-off and rights, I would say that there would be some change after 2012. And we are on a regular basis really now working on possibility to optimize the rights and broadcasting them as far as possible and linked with what we have in our contracts using the other channels in line with what has been settled by the regulator, of course, in order not to write off and in order to be in a position to broadcast. But we have to keep in mind that, as for the primary programming cost, we want to be very careful because in a very competitive environment, and that will be the case in 2012, we want to secure our position in market share, audience share, and so we have, again, there to keep a trade-off in terms of broadcasting some programs and with the rights we have bought, and the capacity, and especially in prime time, to keep a level of audience, which is the one we have today. So again, that is now review on a regular basis. Of course, every day and all programs, we are taking into account the revenues and the audience. That will have some impact on the renegotiation of specific program in the future. It has started, and that will be put under pressure more than in the past. Nevertheless, we keep a strong level of investment or program broadcast as to deliver the level of audience we have today.
Okay, thank you very much.
Next question is from Nicolas Didiot from Exane. Sir, please go ahead.
The first is on Endemol and the contract. Can you give us an order of magnitude of the cost related to this contract? And the second is on SIM channels in Q3. Can you give us the advertising trend in Q3 for the digital channels? The third question is, M6 has been quite successful in changing the structure of the access prime time, and notably with the news evening 15 minutes in advance. So do you think you can revamp your access prime time without changing the structure of your grid? And the last question is, do you think that the current crisis has triggered structural damages to the advertising market for the next 2-3 years? Thank you.
Concerning on-demand cost, I can't give any kind of figure. It's, of course, one of our main contracts, as you know, and we have made some change in some specific clauses, and we will go on renegotiating with them, for the future, but I can't give you the amount of the contract. For the thematic channels, on a like-for-like basis, Q3 is on a trend of plus 7.3%. Concerning the structure of the grid, we have reinvested for the last month and a half on the access time. And yes, we have, and we are, all of us, we are more and more flexible, and we have to adapt our grid and take into account the competition of the different channels, especially for those kind of prime time, access prime time and evening. But at the same time, you know, we have the TV viewers have their own behavior in terms of habits, and they like to have some specific rendezvous with their channel. So, again, trade-off between what they have or their behavior in terms of consumption and the competition we have from M6, but sometimes from other channels, in order to attract more TV viewers. The process, the internal process, the way we manage this has changed now probably for the last 18 months, and we improve the process in order to take this into account in our process, in the way we manage the channel. And it's very important because, of course, as you know, we have now one manager, which is Jean-François Lancelier, in charge of all the program and broadcasting channels. Now, concerning structural damage, I would say that we, at this stage, we don't see coming from the economic crisis or the environment, economic environment. I would say that we don't see, as TF1 is concerned, structural damages coming from the present environment. So we have specific circumstances, change in the process, but nothing is significant. What we had, or the changes are coming from what we've experienced in 2009, due to change in the global economy as well as changes in the regulation, and with more volatility, less visibility, change in the decision-making process of advertisers to decide when and how they invest. But that is coming from the last couple of years, or is coming from 2009, but nothing special, and we've tried to anticipate the changes or the slight changes or the changes we experience now because of specific circumstances, economic circumstances, but no structural damage.
Thank you.
Thank you.
The next question is from Mr. Jérôme Baudin from Natixis. Sir, please go ahead.
Yes, good morning. Good evening, sorry. Three questions, please. The first one, just to continue the question of Bruno on the Q4. Maybe could you give us an update on the difference between gross and net revenues for Q4? Is it in line with what you have seen in Q3? I think it's a difference of 2 points. My second question is on your series investment. You have signed an agreement with EuropaCorp, the French production company, in September for the development of series in English language. I just want to know if this series will meet your obligation in terms of investment for French drama. This is my second question. And my last one is on your very new Swiss business that you have started in September. Could we have a first feedback of your partnership with the Groupe Ringier? And maybe how much revenues do you expect from this contract for next year? Thank you.
Thank you. Concerning Q4, the trend we had in Q3, which basically is 2 points difference growth net. We had a growth of minus 5.6% and the net is minus 3.2%, is partly explained by the fact that we had the Rugby World Cup with some positive impact in terms of pricing and value, and that will be less significant during Q4, and we don't expect to have the same situation in Q4, even if it's a bit early to give some clear position on growth and net. We had in the last Q4, we had some very occupancy rates were quite high, as I mentioned. And the question is really to see whether we have to the capacity to improve the value and to capture more value than last year. It will be very tough. Because of the basis of comparison and because of the environment, which is less favorable than we could expect at the beginning of this year. So that's what I can say in terms of Q4. Concerning EuropaCorp, we've signed an agreement with them. That will be first in order to comply with some of our obligation. On a European basis, but it's also linked to the fact that we think that French drama should be looked at a bit differently and take into account the fact that they could be sold worldwide, which is not really very often the case. So for the moment, so was talented people, we expect to develop some cooperation in order to have some European drama, French drama more looked at and sold elsewhere than in France. Concerning the Swiss business, it's not very significant during the of course the Q3, and it will not be very significant for the whole year because we started the 5th of September, so it's quite recent, no impact on Q3. We expect to have some positive impact, if not significant as well, immediately, so in 2011. And the relation with Ringier is very good, very positive, so we are quite pleased from this business, even if, of course, it's not significant business.
Just a follow-up. My question was more on next year than on 2011.
Yeah, well, for next year, I will not give any kind of figures. It's not such a big business again, but it will contribute to the improvement of the activities. It's a few million euro.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Next question is from Mr. Andrea Beneventi from Chevreuser. Please go ahead.
Good evening. I have a broad question on audiences, actually. Since we are at the end of the analog switch-off, I was wondering, have you seen any sign of slowdown of the audience fragmentation in the regions that are the most advanced into digital, the ones that started at the very beginning of the transition as compared to the other ones?
Yes, well, what we have seen during the switch-off process was the fact that during a few first months, there has been some significant impact in terms of fragmentation because TV viewers were more going from one to another channels and experiencing some new channels. And then there has been, after around 6 months, so now we have some kind of historical figures, stabilization with TV viewers coming back to partly or coming back to the historical channels. But that's just a kind of trend we have. Now, switch-off is behind us. There are still two regions, but that will be fully done, and the switch-off will be over on end of November this month. So there shouldn't be any kind of specific impact from this switch-off anymore on the fragmentation.
So would it be reasonable to expect some kind of stabilization at the end of the switch-off?
Yes, then, I mean, the stabilization or the we will be in a fully competitive environment. So there could be some, there should be some kind of stabilization.
Perfect, thank you.
We have no further questions.
Fine, okay, well, thank you very much for your question, and a good evening. Bye-bye.
Ladies and gentlemen, this concludes the conference call. Thank you all for attending. You may now disconnect.